All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that's given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. It's in the book of Hosea that we read in chapter 11, verse 9. It says, "For I am God and not man." You know, if I speak of a car, a house, or a tree, you can sort of receive a mental image of the thing that I've just mentioned. What if I speak of God? In our efforts to understand God, I believe we have pulled him down to our level, and we've made him in our image. So I believe we need fresh emphasis on the truth that God is God and not man. First of all, because God is God and not man, he does not change. It's over the book of Psalms in the 102nd chapter. Notice what we read in verse 11 and 12. "My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations." Drop on down in the same chapter to verse 24. "I said, O my God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end." You know, we're prone to be swayed now by this motive and again by that motive, but the Lord's mercy does not blind the eyes of his justice. When we read like what we read in Romans, the 6th chapter, he says in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." See, the Lord's mercy is not blinded. His word does not change. And Jesus made that statement in Matthew 24 when he said in verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." We know, too, that God has a changeless plan that he thought of from the very beginning. Paul speaks of this in the book of Ephesians. It's in chapter 1. Let's notice beginning with verse 9. "Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him." So God's plan is changeless. It's a plan that he originated in the beginning, and it's a plan that he executed when he sent his son into this world to die for our sins. So God is God and not man, because he is changeless. But two, God is God and not man because he is uncompromising in his hatred for sin. is found in the book of Proverbs in the 15th chapter. Let's look at verse 9. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who follows righteousness. See, if God was a man, would not he tolerate the wicked world? When in the days of Noah, think about it, would it not appear to have been a man tolerated the wickedness of the world at that time? We know that if God was man, that certainly we see in that days of Noah that the world was so wicked that it repented God that he'd made man, and yet he still waited for 120 years after having given commandment to Noah to build an ark to still provide mankind the opportunity to repent. But of course we know in the end it was still only Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives that were spared from the destruction of the flood. But the truth of the matter is that God hates sin. In Proverbs chapter 6, notice what we read beginning with verse 16. These are six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness that speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. God hates sin. But you know, you and I, we tend to compromise with sin. We tend to compromise with worldliness. In 1 Corinthians 16, it's sort of like what we read in verse 15. When Jesus said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." So see, while we tend to compromise worldliness, God is not going to pollute heaven with what it is that he hates. And we know that from what we read in Revelation chapter 21, when we go down and look at verse 27. "But there shall be by no means in it," that is heaven, "anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." Yes, God is God and not man, because he is uncompromising in his hatred for sin. But also, God is God and not man because he has a love for sinners. It's over in the book of Ezekiel that we read in chapter 35. Notice what he says in verse 11. "Therefore, as I live, says the Lord God, I will do according to your anger and according to the envy which you showeth in your hatred against them. And I will make myself known among them when I judge them." See, God has a love for sinners. He sent his son because of his love, did he not? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And we know that God extends his grace to everyone. It is in Titus chapter 2, that we read in verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." But God's grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And yet, we are saved, too, by his mercy. It's in Titus 3 that we read in verse 5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." And we know that this grace that God has bestowed is grace that has been available to us through Christ. Over the book of Ephesians, notice in chapter 2 as we begin reading in verse 4, For God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Yes, we have had done for us what we did not deserve, but yet what God has done is available to us only through Jesus Christ. It's not through any other prophet. It's not through any other redeemer. It's not through any other savior. It is only through Christ that God has made his love known unto sinners. His love, his grace, and his mercy. Only this is available through Jesus Christ. But two, because God is God and not man, he's long-suffering. In wrath, he remembers mercy. And at the same time, Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, he's not slack concerning his promises. Though men are, God is not, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So think of the opportunity that you've had. How many more opportunities do you expect to have to obey Christ, to do his will, and to have a hope of heaven? You know, his long-suffering, Peter also tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, is to our salvation. In 2 Peter 3, notice what he says in verse 15. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. So also our beloved Paul, according to the wisdom given unto him, has written to you. So his long-suffering is salvation for us. So this ought to lead us to repentance. It's in Romans that we read in the second chapter. Notice verse 4. Or did you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? There's also a statement that's found in Ezekiel chapter 33, when he said in verse 1, As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why would you die, O house of Israel? And that just is appropriate to say today. The Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He urges that the wicked turn from his way. And so, if and when we will, then the Lord will save. And so the question is, why would we die when God has made those things available for us? He can't do everything for us, and he doesn't do everything for us. He expects something on our part to indicate our love for him. He's shown his love for us. Now it's our turn to show our love for him. So then it is that it's in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that it says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, but it also said God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There's no question about God's love for us, because he's manifested, he's shown that love through the sending of his Son. Now it's my turn. Now it's your turn to show our love for him. And how do we do that? Well, we're told in 2 John 1 and verse 6, And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. But it's also in 1 John 5 that we read in verse 3, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. God has shown his love toward us because he sent his son. We are to show now our love to God, and we do that through obedience, through the keeping of God's commandments, through the things that God commands us to do. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.